episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. We're your hosts, Jeremy Broand, at DFF underscore Madman, and...
Shane Manila. It's Shane. Hi, guys. DFF underscore Shane. Shane says Shane is the worst, apparently, from all the emails I'm getting about our listener league, the guy that everybody feels the need to want to beat.
Yeah, they like to think they can beat you, or you maybe you've raised the bar so highly they feel like they want to challenge you.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's people hate me, hate to love me, love to hate me, what it is, but I think just about every email is like, oh, yeah, I'd really love to get in to kick Shane's ass.
I think that's a good sign. I think they like you. I think they want to test themselves against, one of their favorite peeps.
Yep. So real quick, before we get any further, let's just pay some bills. This podcast is brought to you by GT Bets, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Trades HQ pod. Are you looking to get into some action on today's games? Head over to GT Bets for all your sports betting needs with updated odds covering all major sports. The bottom line, GT Bets will have you placing your first bet within minutes with their simple registration process. Register now and earn up to $500 in free money. Simply add Trades HQ in the referred by field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. So we got some news.
Yes?
We do. Dez Bryant of the Where's Dez fame was spotted talking to Cleveland, or at least there was chatter on Twitter about him talking to Cleveland because, as everyone is aware, I'm sure by now, Josh Gordon has stepped away from football to get his mind right.
Yeah, I saw that Dez was in Cleveland and talking to Cleveland, and obviously he's trying to get another gig and play this year. And I also saw that Josh Gordon was, I think, in Miami, but he definitely is not in Cleveland. And what I saw rumored by some of the Cleveland Twitter hounds out there is that Gordon doesn't want any part of Hard Knocks, doesn't want to be involved with the Hard Knocks series, or as little as possible.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, at least anecdotally, dots seem to connect there. If you are doing Hard Knocks or HBO, like, what do you think is going to draw the most interest to the show? Following Hugh Jackson around?
Right.
Or sticking a camera in Josh Gordon's face?
Right.
And asking him about his sobriety and all his struggles. So if that's all it is, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. But that said, Josh Gordon has a history, well-known history of issues. And I think that's what the deeper concern is. The fact that they're talking to Dez makes me wonder, one, why?
Why?
Because even if Josh Gordon weren't going to play in 2018, Dez Bryant isn't remotely the same type of player as Josh Gordon. They're different types of guys, right?
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Was it something? Because, just before we jumped on, I decided to look at their air yards on airyards.com, strangely enough.
Strangely enough, yeah.
Yeah, airyards.com, Josh Hirschmeier's website.
It's a very good site Josh has over there. I do like it.
So I was just looking at the air yards, and, I guess you can only use a real small sample size to compare because, well, Josh Gordon's whole career is a small sample
size. Yeah, absolutely is.
You're using the, 5 or 6 games he played last year, but it's indicative of the type of receiver he is. He had 15.7 yard ADOT compared to Dez's 11.6 yard. So they're just not the same type of player. Dez isn't really particularly fast, or I should say he's not at the level of speed that Josh Gordon is, and they're just different players. When I think of Josh Gordon, I think of long, explosive plays, even if he can do more. So they're completely different players, so I'm not sure why they're bringing in Dez, or maybe they were just planning on talking to Dez this entire time, because God knows they need more receiving options, and I think they're fine, even if Gordon weren't there, which would be great for all my Corey Coleman shares, who, again, his closest player comp on Player Profile is Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, it is, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Even if something were to happen and Josh Gordon wasn't there, you still have Landry for, your 4-yard dump offs. You have Coleman as a deep threat. You have Njoku, who's also a really fast guy up the seams. You have Duke Johnson, who you can split him wide or run him out of the slot. And yeah, I'm in love with Callaway. I think the kid's gonna be really good. And honestly, from Dez had some other issues. He was tweeting out either Friday or Saturday, trashing Sean Lee and Jerry Jones. And usually I'm all for that. That's fine. trashing Cowboys. That's a good thing.
Yeah, trashing the Cowboys is always a good thing.
Yeah, but then, you know, the Cowboys let it be known, or let it at least let leak out, that Dez wasn't the best influence on the team. So I think I'd be worried.
Yeah, with a young team like this, yeah, any other outside influence that isn't good outside influence, and Dez has that history of being vocal and making noise, I think that those guys are disruptive, and I don't think the Browns are in a position to have that. And you're right. I mean, they probably don't need a veteran like Dez. I just don't. I know they have a lot of weapons, but I'm not sold on their receiving core. You know, even if they have, you know, Landry, Coleman, and Gordon, or dare I say Jeff Janis, playing, they have nobody really behind those guys with talent except for Antonio Callaway. Literally nobody else. So they've got three, maybe four guys that can mix in, and then they've got a rookie. So I wouldn't mind them bringing in a veteran receiver, another vet, but yeah, whatever. I think we're going to like the Browns, like you've pointed out before, in fantasy, no doubt. There's enough options for them to pass through with the running backs and Njoku. So, yeah, what do you do? You know, Dez Bryant probably won't end up being a Brown.
Where is Dez going to end up? I mean, I don't know. I guess he'll just be waiting. Where's until Dez? Where's Dez? Is he signing in the land?
Where's Dez?
Yeah. He doesn't sign with Cleveland. I don't know where he goes. I guess he just waits till an injury takes someone out, and then he just goes there.
Yeah.
You know, what reminds me of Dez is I was going through some rosters this week, and I saw Eric Decker still on some rosters. And I think it's about time to give up hope and start cutting him.
Yeah, he was such a good player, but injuries just took their toll. What is he going to do now, a modeling career in the future? I don't know, but I miss Eric Decker. He was a really good player. He was such a value for a long time. You know, you didn't draft him really high, and he came through for you. I wish we had more of those guys in Dynasty Football, for sure.
Based on some of his wife's tweets, I think he could be a porn star, but that's a whole other thing, I guess.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
That guy's so awesome. Some guys have all the luck, man.
They do. Also in the news, we got the Jets doing Jets-type things. Sam Darnold is not getting to practice because they can't come to agreement on the contract.
That's ridiculous. You shouldn't have that with a high draft pick like Sam Darnold, any high draft pick, but the Jets can't afford that, given their quarterback situation anyway, and they want to groom this guy. Why mess with that? Get it done. I'm sure it's not Darnold that's screwing that up too badly.
They're the Jets, you know. Apparently the issue right now is offset language. Basically, if the Jets have a situation where they cut him after before his contract expires, mm-hmm. and he were to sign with another team, say for $2 million, that money would no longer be owed to him by the Jet. And that's apparently what the holdup is, which, you know, first of all, you just traded all these picks to move up and take the guy, right?
Exactly.
So you're already I mean, and I understand you set precedents. You don't want to, oh, well, if we do it for this guy, we have to do it for everyone. No, you don't. Everyone understands that the quarterback is a whole other beast.
True.
I mean, most franchises and GMs are under the assumption that there's no more important position in all football than the quarterback. So to not be able to come to contract over a few million dollar offset language is just ridiculous. And that just shows you why the Jets are the Jets. That and things like somehow Todd Bowles is still the coach there.
Yeah, exactly. The Jets should have worried about this kind of stuff when they drafted Christian Hackenberg. You know, they've wasted so many draft picks. Now they made a good one in Sam Darnold, and they're ruining it. It's like they continually are self-deprecating, that team is. Especially at quarterback. They have like 19 guys. Do you really need that many veteran quarterbacks in New York? Or could you get away with maybe one, two, and a rookie Darnold? I don't know what they're doing.
Well, here's the thing. Josh McCown. I love Josh McCown, but I don't know the last time that guy made it through a full season. So I'm good with them having Teddy Bridgewater there because I don't know that they're going to want to turn it over to Sam Darnold when it goes bad this year. And at this point, who knows when he's actually going to sign.
Right.
Missing important practices. Who knows when he'll actually be ready. It's just, cool. You know, a stupid thing for the Jets to do it for a few million dollars. You're already starting this kid's career off badly.
Bridgewater may be, though, the only move they made that made a lot of sense. You know, McCown as a player is a great veteran presence, but they overpaid for him. And Bridgewater, you know, that's a great deal for the Jets. They can get out of that easily, cheaply. And, you know, he's pretty much a high risk, high reward, low risk, high reward kind of guy, because he could end up being their starter if necessary, as long as he, you know, his injury has healed. He's a guy that could come through for him, and he's cheap. But McCown costs a lot of money. Now they draft this high. It's just, yeah, it's typical Jets stuff. If I lived in New York, that huge of a city, and followed the Jets, God, I'd be disappointed all the time. I think a city like that deserves better. And that's coming from a Cleveland fan.
Yeah, no, I don't care about them. They have enough teams that they can just pick and choose, I guess. I don't know. I don't know really the boundary lines for New York. I would assume you just pick whatever team is doing best. That's what most of the New Yorkers I know seem to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm telling you, the Jets have all kinds of problems. And, you know, I don't like their fantasy aspect. I mean, outlook this season.
Elijah McGuire, broke his foot. He's out 3 to 6 weeks, according to RotoWorld. Yeah, so you can get him cheap. And now that he's going to be out, probably right up until week one, week two, depending on how this heals, he might be a guy that it's worth just throwing out some third, fourth round rookie pick offers for. In college, the guy was a 70th percentile college dominator rating. He had 130 catches in 4 years. He carried a full workload. He had 4,301 rushing yards on 710 attempts. Wow. He had a nice 6.1 yard average. Obviously, you know, this is against lesser competition. He was in the Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah, Elijah McGuire was a great player in college. Catching, running, receiving. I mean, he's, you know, receiving and running. That guy, I expected good things from him. I have him in a lot of places.
Yeah, he put up over 4,300 yards in college, literally 4,301. So literally just over 4,300 yards rushing. Yeah. Receiving, he had almost 1,400 yards on 130 catches.
Yep, amazing stuff, man. I really like that guy a lot.
So that's how he has that 70th percentile college dominator rating. He's a guy that, I got him on a lot of rosters too, because he's a guy, you know, he was a sleeper. Yeah, and he was a sleeper for everybody last year. I think he was it was him and Marlon Mack were the type of guys a lot of people were grabbing in the third and fourth rounds.
Because why not?
Exactly. So I'll throw out picks, or I'll throw out offers of third or fourth rounders this week, I think. Hey, you know, and then I was just wondering, any other Jets you're buying on? Running backs?
You know, I'm not, because I don't really love the situation. There are a lot of backs there. McGuire was the guy I targeted because he was so cheap, and I'm really high on him. And I thought maybe he'd carve out a role, kind of, you know, the pass catching back, you know, the third down back, the guy that can mix it up, and a lot of PPR love. He showed out in what, one game last year or two games last year, where he looked okay. His yards per carry, atrocious, but I don't think with a rookie running back and a small sample size that, you know, Chris Bean says, you know, yards per carry is more of an offensive line stat than a running back, except that other backs had higher yards per carry. But with a limited sample size, he didn't show out stat-wise, but he looked pretty good when he did run, you know, when he was in the game. He looked good, and the offense seemed to work pretty well. I still have high hopes for him. I don't really like Crowell that well, but now with McGuire injured, I mean, that's their starter, right? That's the guy that's going to carry the rock. There's nobody else. I mean, that's worth a damn. Thomas Rawls sucks.
Well, here, I was thinking, Thomas Rawls is another guy that's completely free, and this is going to help him. But even before that, I just wanted to get to the Jets being the Jets. And right. So they lose a guy that is a good receiver, even though he only had 17 receptions last year in McGuire. But like I said, we saw what he could do in college. The guy's an excellent receiver.
Yep.
So he goes down, and for some reason, they bring in Alfred Morris. So I don't get that. They don't seem to be the same type of player unless Alfred Morris has slimmed down a lot and become a receiving back during his offseason.
Yeah, the two down Alf Morris, good running back. I mean, reliable, but yeah, did they really need him? I just don't understand the moves that they make. They have this, hey, we're leaning toward youth, and then they bring in all these old tired dogs at the same time, and it's just a weird mix of, like, what is the plan? Like, what's the process for the New York Jets? And I'm not an NFL expert, but it seems like there's so many disparate things going on at the same time. Like, how do you gel a football team like that?
Well, neither do the Jets, I don't think. And yeah, they didn't use him much at all last year, which is a little surprising, especially after they lost Matt Forte.
Bilal Powell got a lot of run. Bilal Powell's another guy that's always kind of sitting out there at the end of drafts. He's a guy that I'll probably have on a couple rosters here and there. But the only problem with him is I'm sure he'll have a week or two where he's startable. It's just...
Which week?
Exactly. And, I mean, Crowell's a guy that I would think should get the volume. And has shown that he can actually catch the ball a little bit. He's not Duke Johnson, to make that apples to apples comparison since right. he was there. But he did show that he can catch the ball a little bit. And yeah, McGuire, last year he had four games where he had more than 10 carries, 10 for 93, 11 for 20, 10 for 22, and 13 for 30. So outside of that 10 for 93, which included a 69-yarder, he really wasn't, his yards per carry was not good. But they just didn't target him in the receiving game either. I mean, they really didn't use him. The guy only had somewhere in the neighborhood of 105 touches, if my math is correct. But like I said, he's a guy that, you bought low on last year, and some guys might be ready to move him just because they need the roster space. And, there's the new bright, shiny fourth-round guys that we all think are going to hit this year. So maybe grab McGuire. At least he made it through one season, and they decided to bring him back, which is, more than we can say for a lot of late-round draft picks, six-round draft picks.
I hope that, personally, selfishly, I hope that the Jets, with this Elijah McGuire injury, get some more reps to Trenton Cannon, their sixth-round draft pick, little guy, 5'11", 185 pounds, out of Virginia State. I picked him up. I don't know if you paid any attention, but he's one of my four rookies on the taxi squad in our high-stakes contracts league, the salary cap auction league that we have with Craig Mish and Brad Ziegler and gang. And so Sipes and I, he joined on as my co-manager for this team, and we have Trenton Cannon as one of our long shots at running back on our taxi squad. Now, he may never pan out, but if you saw him in college and you're in a deep dynasty league, he's a guy I would want in my last spot just to take a chance. Who knows how things will shake out for the backs there, but if he could carve out a role more than special teams, you're talking about an explosive, fantasy player, if so.
So apparently he's a real guy, though, because I just Googled him because I thought you might have been making that name up.
Trent Cannon, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely a real player. Man, he's skinny, though.
Yeah,
I'll know what his legs look like, man. Just I remember I was buying in the Donnell Pumphrey last season, and then they showed him once he got to training camp, and I was like, this guy's legs are twigs. So hopefully your guy's got a thicker base, man, because if you don't get that big ass,
You're right, you're right.
Be a good running back.
One of the problems is if you're 5'11", you probably need to be 210, 220 to even, to play a decent slot role. 5'11", 185 is just really tiny. So, yeah, he's got that working against him. But, he's got speed to burn. But he's a long shot. He'll probably be a special teamer, and who knows if he'll carve anything out. But he's one of those guys, like every year, there are one wide receiver, one running back I kind of take a chance on in my deep leagues. And, they don't necessarily ever work out, but it's someone you can kind of pine for and believe in. But enough about the Jets, man.
I
hate the Jets.
I just want to know this, though. Who would you rather have in Dynasty? Would you rather have Isaiah Crowell or Marshawn Lynch?
Well, I'd probably rather have the running back that is more of a sure thing to start, and that would be Crowell in New York. They got him for a reason. Lynch is washed up, and I don't want to say he's washed up in that he doesn't have any talent. He's an old running back, and I don't know how much he has left, and I don't know how many reps he's going to get in Oakland. So definitely I go for Crowell.
I think Lynch will ball out this year. I think he's going to drop 1,200 yards. All right, maybe not that much.
This year.
I think like 900 yards.
Well, I'd trade you.
Yeah, I'll call it a career.
To put this in context for you, in a vacuum, I would trade you Marshawn Lynch for Isaiah Crowell, who I don't really own anywhere and I don't want, even though he is the Jets starting back. But given the choice between those two, I would give you Lynch for Crowell in Dynasty because I think Crowell can, play for a few years and, decent return in fantasy. Lynch is like, this year redraft, sure, pick him up.
Well, that's the larger problem is that Lynch is done after this season and they moved to Las Vegas since he came back just to play in Oaktown.
Yeah, his hometown.
Yeah, but that's a lot. That's a whole lot of Jet talk. That's a lot of Jet talk. One thing I did want to talk about, though, is our Patreon. Did you know that we have our Patreon page? We have three patrons.
Yeah, that's good stuff, buddy.
Yeah, the first one started this week. We got Brian Heiser. So shout out to Brian Heiser, Dustin Church, and Gavin Thomas.
Yeah, thanks, guys. This is awesome. Our
first three of what we hope will be, you know, thousands, millions of patrons. And then we'll all retire. Not together, like not us and our patrons, but
right.
Like me, you, and Sipes. Well, I mean, by the time that happens, Sipes will likely be dead because he's, you know,
yeah,
he's
old. Yeah.
But me, you, and whoever replaces him.
Sure.
Hopefully, yeah, we could retire because that'd be awesome.
And you know why? I think these three guys, our first three patrons, it seems that they're pretty excited to listen to the After Hours podcast, the uncut, the uncensored, the uncivilized podcast that we're going to do on the side for patrons. I think they're excited about that, man. We're going to be in the raw, not nude, but, you know.
This is the civilized version.
This is as scrubbed and polished as we can be, this podcast.
So we don't clean up well is what you're saying.
I don't think so. I think the uncut version is going to be, you know, we're going to take the gloves off and all of that, you know. So as far as Patreon goes, how can people find us on Patreon?
Actually, you just go on and you can search it, or it's actually pinned to the Dynasty Trades. There's a pinned tweet at the Dynasty Trades HQ handle. Just click on that bad boy, follow the link, become a patron, you know, become one of the cool kids.
Yeah, we have lots of good stuff in store. We're just getting that started. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope to have a lot of people join us.
Trade alert.
Uh-oh. Are you sure?
Trade alert.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, so this is pretty funny. I made two trades this week, and both of them actually were involved Alex Collins, because that was the player that I was buying.
Baltimore running back, huh? Alex Collins?
Yeah. I don't know why. I just felt this need. I'm looking at my rosters, and I'm like, you know who I don't have any of? And I was like, Alex Collins, and mm-hmm. who might actually be pretty good. You know, when we had Bob Lung on, he spoke about the fact that Alex Collins was really consistent last year once he got a start. So I made a couple moves, got him. But what's funny is in both trades, Elijah McGuire was included in both the trades.
And you, that's just weird. You obtained Alex Collins and got rid of Elijah McGuire?
In one league, I got both. In the other, I traded Elijah McGuire. It was part of the package.
Got it. He was involved in both trades in some way.
Yes.
Okay.
So the first trade, fairly simple, went ahead and gave up Elijah McGuire, and you're not going to like this, Anthony Miller for Alex Collins.
That's crazy. But, you know, you're getting the starting running back in Baltimore, and that's worth a lot.
So you're okay with that, huh?
You're getting the starting running back, a young guy. You know, Seattle gave up on him too soon. We've talked about that before. You know, teams giving up on players too soon, and Dynasty owners giving up on players too soon. We've gone over that a lot, and I think that's what happened. I liked Collins coming out of college. His metrics weren't the best. He's starting in Baltimore. They're getting him involved in the passing game. You know, there's a lot to like there. The receiver you parted with, I like a lot. But you got rid of a potential receiver, and you got rid of a running back who's now injured, who may never develop into anything, for a starting running back for a team that runs the ball. Yeah, you did well. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I like Elijah McGuire, but yeah, he was an easy give. D'Anthony Miller was obviously a harder give. And just to go over some of his metrics, he's an 80th percentile college dominator. He's got a really good spark score, 121.1, 89th percentile. His breakout age was late, but again, it's the first time I'm saying it, but that's due to the fact that he was a transfer, I believe.
Yeah, transfer player, yeah.
He's already 24 years old, and he had a decent yards per reception, 60th percentile, 15.2 yards.
And he delivered in his last year of college big time, and you know, that dominator rating is huge, so I think that outweighs his age. Guys overreact to that anyways. We've talked before a lot about those prime years, 26 to 29. 24 is still young.
Yeah, but especially with the breakout age, it's not when it's a player that transferred, you have to take it with a grain of salt. If it's a player that started college late, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. But when it's a four-year senior and it takes him until he's 22 years old and he's been at school that whole time, you know.
And starting for 4 years, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and he doesn't break out until that third year, fourth year, then, yeah, then I'll put a little more weight into it. But I do like Anthony Miller. So, you know, I made that trade. Everybody told me I did poorly in the league. I said something really smart. I think it was something along the lines of, you guys can suck me off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't do that on this podcast.
Well, I came real witty with it. But so the next day, and I don't think I edited this article, but I might have because I don't remember anymore. Our buddy, I believe it was Jay Chalk. All right. So and everyone should check this article out. But I'm just going to hit some of the highlights that one of our writers hit for an article he wrote for Dynasty Football Factory. It's at Jayhawk Chalk 89. That's a mouthful right there. Yeah. Name of the article is Plant Your Flag for Fantasy Players to Trust in 2018. And if I didn't know better, I would think he wrote this specifically for me to make me feel good about this trade. So he did bring up the fact that the Ravens are moving away from being a throw first, throw heavy offense. They ranked first in pass attempts in 2015 and 16. 2017, they went ahead and dropped to 16th. Alex Smith, where are you?
The one thing I wanted to say about Anthony Miller is that context matters. And we do a lot of talking about things that, you know, where we... I don't know if the word's analysis. I don't know if we analyze it necessarily at a level people would think, but just looking at things in terms of context, we were talking about Anthony Miller's age. There are guys that totally subscribe to, you know, breakout age and how old a freshman is, and they'll just draft players based on them being the youngest, like Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, they'll look at that. Oh, Ronald Jones in this year's draft. And, you know, they want those young guys that are, you know, maybe 3 years ahead of where Anthony Miller is at 24. These cats are 21 years old, you know. But in, like you just pointed out, that's not a blanket rule. You don't just focus on age when you have a talent like an Anthony Miller. I mean, it's only one factor in the whole thing that you need to evaluate when you're trying to pick your dynasty players, guys that you want on your team.
No, definitely, definitely. So our good buddy Jayhawk Chalk 89. He penned this article for Dynasty Football Factory. And I'm just going to steal some of his work liberally, but you should go check out the whole article.
Yeah.
It's like I said, Plant Your Flag for Fantasy Players to Trust in 2018. So remember anybody?
Nate Coleman, right?
Yeah, good old Nate Coleman. I did point out that the Ravens are moving to be in a more balanced offense. They ranked first in pass attempts in both 2015 and 16. They're becoming a little more run-heavy approach. They were 29th in rushing attempts in 2016, jumped all the way up to 7th in 2017.
Hey, they're getting ready for Lamar Jackson time, baby.
Exactly, exactly. Alex Collins himself had a 5.3 rushing yards per carry. Excuse me, 5.3 per carry against stacked, which is fourth in the league last year.
Yeah.
You'd like to see that.
Yep.
He finished in top 10. He finished in the top 10 in several different categories, including breakaway runs, 9th in evaded tackles, 5th in juke rate, and 8th in yards created. All those were courtesy of Player Profile. So this is a guy that won even when the defense is primed and ready and stacked up against him, he's still able to get yards. And with the breakaway runs, you can see he's got that extra gear that he needs. The evaded tackles, the juke rate shows you that he's able to get yards on his own. Last year, the Ravens faced the 13 toughest run schedule. They did this without their all-pro guard Marshall Yanda and starter Alex Lewis, who presumably both would be back this year. Their run schedule difficulty in 2018, because the future is what matters, right? Not what you did in the past, even though that's nice. It's going to move from being the 8th toughest to the 10th easiest, according to Sharp Football Review. And just a little more icing on the cake, Danny Woodhead's gone, Terrence West gone. That's 88 additional touches and 16 red zone looks available for Alex Collins, plus what he did last year.
Yep. Yeah, that all points to a player that, you know, you want to buy you want to draft a starting running back in that in any offense. A starter like that is valuable, but good grief. What else do they have behind them? Kenneth Dixon? Javorius Allen and Kenneth Dixon. I mean, that's really all there is behind Alex Collins.
Yeah, and I like Buck Allen, but he's not special. He's a better player for your NFL team than he'll ever be for your fantasy team. That I think Alex Collins showed last year that given the chance and him holding on to the football, that he can be a very good running back. And for the cost of a rookie wide receiver, I'll take the shot. Like I said, I like Anthony Miller, but there's no guarantees that Anthony Miller is going to hit. We all know the hit rates on second round rookie picks in fantasy drafts. So we'll see.
I think you made a good trade. There's nothing wrong with it. I love Anthony Miller, and I know you know that. I think he's going to be just fine. But you got a guy that's going to give to your team now and probably in the future. It's not like Alex Collins is old. And like you said, you don't know how well Anthony Miller will develop for sure. So, I mean, you know, that was, a balanced trade. But I certainly can't disparage you for getting Collins. Anthony Miller and Elijah McGuire, you gave up what might be trash and a rookie receiver, and, you know, you got your running back. There you go.
Alex Collins, and it's hard to believe somehow he's still not even 24 years old. I feel like he's been in the league forever, but I guess he really hasn't. But no, it just feels like his name's been bouncing around there forever, I guess. I would like to see him used in the receiving game a little more.
Well, they are doing that. They're mixing Alex Collins in the running game. In the passing game, and he's got that prototypical size too, buddy. That 5'11", 215. But yeah, he's just going to be 24 when the season starts. You know, that's awesome.
So, and you know me, I can't just have a player on one roster I hate it, because then I can never really. I can't root for him. I don't know about you, but when I have you on one roster, there's a better chance that you're hurting me than helping me as many leagues as I'm in. So I did send out multiple offers for Alex Collins in a bunch of leagues. Only one other person got back to me, and that was in our DFF Dynasty Blue Chips something or another league, League.
Our DFF official Dynasty League, the only one.
Now, and I probably lost this trade straight up on value because it's a super flex trade league, and I gave up Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but he's a starting quarterback that you could at least throw out there 8 games a year, right, when he's home?
Yeah, eight home games, at least this year. I don't know when that guy's going to hang up the cleats. Not a big deal.
Never. Remember, he got all pissy because they drafted Mason Rudolph. Said, I don't know why they did that. It's not like I gave him any reason to. Even though during the season last year, he talked about how he was washed and he was thinking about maybe retiring.
That's a competitive guy, man. But you know what? I think that Mason Rudolph is probably already more mature than Ben Roethlisberger at a certain level. That guy's just never going to grow up. And you have what? Andy Dalton, Alex Smith, and Tyrod Taylor on your roster. So right now you've got 3 starters anyway in a super flex.
Yep. So I got Elijah McGuire, the aforementioned Elijah McGuire, who now I guess go on my IR.
Yeah, for 6 weeks or so.
Mark Walton and Alex Collins. Now, we've already talked up what it is that I like about Alex Collins, but I mean, just for now, what did you think of that trade? And mind you, you're in this league, so you know that at least since I've been in this league, trading is difficult. So I just wanted to get a trade done. I'm not going to lie to you. That was a big, big part of it.
I've made a few trades in this league, surprisingly, but it's because of the nature of this league. I was able to get rid of some Devy picks and young players for established players because I have a good core, a good roster to win with now. So I'm just going with that strategy at this point. I don't know. I mean, you gave up, like you said, a starting quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, and you got back essentially Alex Collins and then a maybe and Mark Walton. So I don't love that trade for you. If you needed a running back and you love Walton and McGuire, you know, I think that's an okay trade to make. But in Superflex, I like the fact that you have 4 quarterbacks, or had Tyrod Taylor, who is going to be the starter for probably at least the start of the season before Baker Mayfield takes his job. Alex Smith, who's probably going to be awesome in Washington and has been Mr. Steady Eddie and totally blows his critics out of the water because that guy just plays good football. And Andy Dalton, you don't really need Roethlisberger, but I may have held on to him. I don't know, man. Again, that's a fair trade. I don't know which side I like better. Now for you, you didn't need Big Ben, so whatever.
Nah, and that's what I figured. And looking at my roster, that's the other thing is I don't think I'm a win now team. Right. Or a win, maybe not even a win next year team if we're being honest. But yeah, no, who knows? Pull off some trades. And Mark Walton's a guy I really liked. I feel like Mark Walton is a player. His season was shortened due to injury. He only got in 5 games last year.
You like Mark Walton, and you've said that before. That's a guy that you targeted in this year's draft, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about Mark Walton is he's a guy that dropped in the draft because he had a pretty severe, I believe it was an ankle or a foot, whatever it was. It wasn't healed. It cost him most of his college year. He probably would have been better served going back for his senior season. But he had a 5.1 average per carry in college. He's a good receiver. In his 2 full seasons, he had 22 receptions and 27 receptions. Even missing all most of the year that he did, and still not really being fully healed by the time that the combine rolled around, the guy still ended up being drafted in the 4th round. Now, the cutoff for fantasy success is usually the 3rd round. Most of the successful players come out of the first 3 rounds when it pertains to tight ends, running backs, and wide receivers. But that's another one of those, like, you have to look at the circumstances that led to someone landing where they landed. And I think if Mark Walton would have been able to play last year, and even if he was just average, and if he was able to do a full combine results probably would have been better, I'm thinking, if his foot or ankle or whatever it was fully healed at the time.
Yeah.
So he's a guy, I think, I could be wrong, but I think he definitely would have gone sooner than the 4th round. Right now, his role is going to be limited because they have Geo there and they have Joe Mixon, and there's really no reason to mess up that apple cart. Is that the right apple cart?
The
apple cart.
The Bengals
knock the apple cart over.
Knock the cart.
I don't know what the
don't
actual.
Don't put the cart before the horse. Now, I think you're spot on with liking Walton, and the thing is, I disagree a little bit there with what you said at the end, because the Bengals have shown that they're fine with mixing in all of their running backs in a season. You know, we had that problem with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. Which one should you take? Which one's more valuable? And they were basically tied a couple seasons in a row, separated only by a few points in fantasy scoring. And now, you know, we don't know what Mixon is going to be. And if he's the starter and Giovanni Bernard is gone next year, certainly Walton could carve out a role for himself. He's good enough to do that. But, you know, it's a dark horse. You just don't know how it's going to shake out. So you're taking a chance on it. But, you know, low risk. But you did give up Big Ben to get him.
I did give up the rapist. That is correct.
The rapist. Allegedly. Allegedly.
That's therapist, Sean. Not the rapist, if anyone's seen that SNL skit. I don't care. I like Mark Walton a lot. I think Gio's gone after this year. His contract is fairly significant for a cheap franchise. So I think Gio is likely gone after this season, if not before then. And I don't expect Walton to be the starter there. I do expect him to, at some point, take that Gio role. And that Gio role has been valuable.
Valuable, yeah.
Very valuable for his entire career there when he's been healthy. He's a guy that you know you can plug in as a flex or as your running back 3, depending on how many roster spots, how many people you have to start. But yeah, Mark Walton, he's in that vein with me with like Ito Smith, guys that we're looking to 2019 already.
Yeah, we'll see how Mixon turns out. See if he can be the bell cow back, so to speak. We'll see, you know, but I definitely think you're right that Walton can carve out a role in Cincinnati, especially, you know, next year if he doesn't this year. But he'll get a chance. That's a good guy to have at the tail end of your roster, no doubt, or Texas.
You don't like Joe Mixon, right? Not as a person. No one does.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
yeah,
he's a football player.
Except for his mother. Does anybody really like Joe Mixon as a person? I mean, seriously, I'm not going to go into the character flaw of, you know, punching a woman in the face, because I don't know what it takes to bring a guy to break, to hit a woman so hard he breaks her face, or anybody, just because they're kind of talking in their face like that. That's not, you know, a mistake in judgment. That's a character flaw, and I think that's going to rear its ugly head at some point in this guy's career. There's no doubt, because there's something amiss in that man's brain, for sure. Hopefully it's not CTE. I'm not a big fan, only because I never saw him as the bell cow back. I've seen that guy's talent. I've bought into that. That guy is super talented and can run and make space for himself. And he's got some incredible talent, but I don't know if he's a bell cow back. And, you know, I like guys like that. I like the guys that you have. And he could be a three-down back, right, based on his skill set. But can he hold up? He's never been a lead back. We'll see. This is the turning point. This year, we're going to find out if Joe Mixon can carry the rock for the Bengals and be their lead dog.
So, just to be clear, you don't like him, obviously, because of the character issues. Although, outside of that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But outside of that one,
right.
he hasn't really done anything else, right?
He doesn't really need to do anything else. I never really
That's pretty bad, yes.
That's bad enough. Bad. And I don't draft guys like that high. I mean, you know, you take Dede Westbrook low, right? He wasn't being drafted super high. And so, I'll take a chance on this guy low. Josh Gordon, you know, based on talent, he could go higher. But you know what? What did we say? I'm not touching that guy in the top 20 picks. I'm going to hold off. Later, he becomes a value. He's a super talent. But, you know, you've been burned before. Will Mixon ever do anything again? I don't know. But the reason I'm not as high on him is because of that stupid thing that he did. The, you know, character flaw that he has.
See, with the character flaws with me, and just to be clear, because I've brought this up with other people, and, you know, on Twitter, it's hard to get that nuance out, or sometimes I just don't feel like explaining myself. Same. But my character flaws, like, I feel like there has to be at least two incidents of some type. you know what? That's an issue that's going to probably be systemic with you. Joe Mixon, if he punches people all the time, I think it's probably something that is an inherent flaw with him.
Well, we don't know how many people the guy's punched. I mean, like I said, it's significant enough for it to affect
him. Yeah, I mean, okay, well, it's been brought to our attention, because honestly, we don't know how many times any of these guys have done anything.
Right.
But just my overarching, for me, it's got to be at least twice. It's got to be at least the start of a trend before I'm like, all right, this guy's probably kind of a jerk off.
You can't base drafting fantasy teams, or dynasty teams especially, based on character, because, you know, you might never end up with a decent team if you just discount every player that's ever done anything. So, yeah, I mean, that's not primary for me. I honestly don't know if that guy can be a 16-game, three-down running back that he's being drafted to be. And maybe he can. I'm not sure. There are other backs that have already done it in college. Your boy, Royce Freeman. Can he be an every-down, three-down bell cow back for the Broncos someday? Abso-fucking-lutely he can be. He's done it. He can be in there every down, and he's tough and durable, and he can be that player for you. There are other guys like that, too, that come out, and you know for a fact that they can do it. You've seen it. Mixon never was the lead dog at Oklahoma. He's never been the number one running back. I want to see him do that before I buy in 100%. Would I draft him if he was a value? But he's no longer a value.
But it's going to be too late.
It already is. It already is. Do you see how high he's going?
Well, yeah, I mean, I drafted him in the late second of a FFPC startup, so you saw that.
So I'm not going to end up with Joe Mixon. Yeah, right, I did. I'm not going to end up with him on my teams because he's going that high.
But you just brought up an interesting point that's been kind of annoying me on Twitter lately.
Uh-huh.
Just in general, when talking about players and talking about their potential, or just... I should say the lack of talking about their potential. And specifically today, I think it was someone was bringing up Leonard Fournette versus Mixon. And I don't remember the guy's name, and I'm not trying to call him out, but because he's just an example of it. And I've seen a lot where people go, oh, well, so-and-so did this last year, so he's always going to be the better player. Or, well, nice. I'm not going to take a rookie because this guy's already proven that he can do it. And I just, you know.
Yeah, there's risk built in. I mean, you have to project a player for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's just a redraft mentality to me. Like, I just, or maybe I'm just a bad dynasty player. I don't know. Maybe I should keep better track of my championships and start adding
and how you got
my
there,
Twitter bio. Yeah. But to me, you have to take risk in Dynasty. If you're not willing to project, we'll go play redraft.
Yeah,
like,
you have to
play Dynasty.
I guess my projection, too, for just in the case of Mixon, my projection isn't as high as a lot of you guys out there. I've projected him, and it's a different projection than you have. And I may be wrong, but I have a method for doing that with players. And I have players ranked, you know, higher. That's just, but yeah, you're right. If you're going through this and, you know, talking out of both sides of your mouth, you're probably always going to be a little too emotional to field a good dynasty team. You can't just draft, you can, in fact, draft all the guys you like or only guys that you like, but you may not have a really good team if you think that way. You have to, you know, context matters. My reason for not drafting Mixon that high is different than just, you know, he slugged a girl in the face and different than, you know, his talent. It's just one factor involved in my analysis of a player.
Yeah, and you see, I can understand the concern around him never being a workhorse back. So far between his 2 years in college and his 1 year in the pros.
Oh, I know, yeah.
He still doesn't even have 500 rushing attempts to his name.
Yep.
That's insane.
An explosive, dynamic player, saw it last year for the Bengals, saw the touchdown, saw some things that he did that looked really good, also saw some slop. He's a rookie. You have to discount it based on the fact that he was a rookie and he didn't get a ton of chances. He looked really good at the end of last season. I think he's going to be a fantasy star. I mean, you don't need to be a bell cow back to be valuable. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, he's probably not going to be a bell cow back in the
traditional sense,
you know, quote unquote bell cow back, which is just a silly thing to throw around. He's going to be in there probably, though, all three downs. He's going to get a lot of PPR love. He's going to be a valuable asset without being that bell cow. And Mixon can be that same player. I mean, look at Bernard there. I mean, he was never the guy to carry the rock the whole game long. And he ended up being a really, really strong fantasy asset. I think Mixon will be too. And be the player that Bernard has been in fantasy, because then you're not talking about a bell cow back, necessarily lead back. You're talking about somebody running back by committee and lending it themselves to still getting you those fantasy points. That's just where I see him being is, you know, yeah, Giovanni Bernard approximation.
And just real quick, I want people to understand too. I don't personally care about a guy's character. Either. I honestly, if a guy murdered someone and was paroled and was allowed to play football, yeah, and he was really good at it, I'm going to draft him. It's when he keeps murdering people. That's my issue. Or, you know what I mean? Like, if you keep repeatedly doing something that's going to get you banned from the league, that's my problem. But, like, if you kill someone, whatever, and you're paroled and you get signed by the, I don't know, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, whatever, and you're going to be pretty good, I'm going to draft you. Just don't keep killing people, because then I can't draft you.
Yeah, I'm just going to play it as smart as I can, you know, with these players. You know, there was a Ravens starting running back who blasted his wife in the face on an elevator, and he was blackballed in the NFL. Mixon, you know, hit a stranger, similar kind of thing, but it was in college. And until the videotape came out, he wasn't even suspended. I think he was suspended afterward. The thing is, it's just kind of like, all right, well, this guy has the potential to get himself suspended. I mean, look at Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon didn't hit anybody. He's hardly played football because he can't stop, what, doing illicit substances? You know, all Mixon has to do is one foul thing and not be playing in the league anymore. So it is in the back of my mind whether I think that affects his fantasy superstardom or not. It's a different story, but it's definitely in the back of my mind.
The fastest-growing Dynasty football website, Dynasty Football Factory, has joined forces with the biggest high-stakes fantasy football platform on the planet, the FFPC. DFF is proud to offer these exciting and new Dynasty high-stake leagues in an exclusive partnership with the FFPC. Leagues start at just $77, but the sky is the limit. Take your game to the next level. Think you have what it takes? Then raise the stakes and go to Dynasty Football Factory and click on the FFPC logo and sign up today. So over the weekend, I actually joined an FFPC league.
Wow, you did. Another one.
I don't tell anyone. Kind of keep this between us. It's a redraft league.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I joined the Football Guys Players Championship.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, $350.
Wow.
And I wanted to get in one of these bad boys.
Sure.
I want to do the main event, which last look, there was still a couple seats left. But I figured this is a good way to kind of hold over that and fight that urge. Hopefully that'll stop me from doing it and dropping $1,900 on that. And you know it's a redraft league when I took Larry Fitzgerald in the third round.
Yes. Yeah, you're trying to win now for sure. Hey, how much is the one you were just talking about, the championship? How much is the buy-in for that?
What's that? It's the FFPC main event.
The main event is how much
so
is the
main
event?
Event.
How much does
so
the main event cost?
If you sign up right now, yeah. $1,800. That's for the league's draft, and
wow.
It looks like through the 8th. Then it's $1,900. These are the live drafts.
You got a lot of scratch if you're throwing that kind of money at a fantasy league.
Well, yeah, you probably do. Or credit cards.
Yeah, I guess.
Or maybe you rob banks. I don't know, whatever.
To support your fantasy football habit.
Whatever, I'm not going to judge you. You do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I got in a Football Guys championship, 350, and that was fun. It took about 2 hours to draft. Unfortunately, one of the guys... team was auto drafted and he ended up with five quarterbacks.
Oh man, really?
Yeah.
And no trading, right? No trading?
No, there's no trading. It's weekly roster management. There's waivers and whatnot. But yeah, and I'll tell you what though, it started off for the guy's team that was auto drafted. It didn't start that bad. It started with Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman, Mike Evans. And then it got a little sketchy. It's Greg Olsen, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman. And then this is where it really went berserk. The 7th round, 9th round, 10th round, 11th round, and 13th round, it went quarterback.
Oh, my God.
So,
Were people chatting about that this guy's on auto pick? That reminds me of the old ESPN redraft leagues where there would always be somebody that just doesn't show up, and you wait and just watch the clock tick-tock.
Yes.
And then they end up with whatever player's at the top, which is just silly. Silly.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit in the chat here and there. I didn't realize, and I think I knew he was having trouble getting on. I knew the beginning of the draft, I'll say, that he wasn't there. I didn't realize until towards the end of the draft when someone mentioned that the guy had five quarterbacks, that his entire draft was auto-drafted. That sucks.
Yes, yeah.
But, it helped the rest of us. It pushed some value down to the rest of us.
Hey, did you say it's Superflex?
No.
Favorite? It's not. Wow.
It's not Superflex.
That's
ballsy
of you,
man. One QB.
You stepped out of your comfort zone for that one. I'm proud of you.
I did, and I got to tell you, while I was drafting, it was one of the hardest things to do in my life, not drafting, just overly drafting, I should say, rookies. I did draft Saquon Barkley. I did draft Royce Freeman. But mm-hmm. outside of that, just looking at my roster, I got Christian Kirk late, mm-hmm. but the rest of my roster is veterans.
Sure.
And most of the team is third year and out. And it was a hard thing to do. It kind of felt like a recovering addict being drawn to a drug. Every time I would see a rookie come up on the board, the mouse would just start moving towards it. I had to fight that urge.
You had to fight the urge, yeah. Not a dynasty league, so totally different.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I wanted to say, while we're talking about this, there might be people out there, I'm sure there are some listeners, that would like to join another dynasty league, because you can't ever have too many, right, Shane?
No, you can't.
So let's tell everyone again about our listener league. They can email us if they're interested at dynastytradeshqpod@gmail.com. DynastyTradesHQPod@gmail.com or check the Twitter account. Reach out to us however you want. Basically, this is what we need from you. Include your full name, your Twitter handle, if you have one, and a brief bio. Just describe your Dynasty League experience. Maybe you've never been in a Dynasty League before. Maybe you've been in 20 leagues. Maybe, who knows? It doesn't matter. Experience does not matter. But what does matter is you telling us why you'd love to be in a Dynasty League with the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast hosts. Shane, Mike, and Jeremy. We're going to pick 13 people from all the interested parties to be in our 16-teamer. Shane, you want to tell them what this is going to be about? I know we don't have it all fleshed out, but we're talking 16 teams, super flex.
Yeah, and you know what? That's really going to make the quarterback drafting interesting. So yes. I think we did agree on, obviously, PPR because we're not from the 40s. super flex, 16 teams, $50 buy-in. I'm thinking we'll do normal after that because it's 16 teams. There's no real reason to make people start two tight ends or anything like that. I think we'll keep this one pretty basic. I don't want to make it too confusing for people. I think the super flex in a 16-team league is going to make it hard enough for a lot of guys. The only thing I ask is your response or your reason for wanting to play can't be just to kick my ass. I need something better than that. I got to be honest with you. I've gotten enough of the emails where people want to smack me around.
I think that was all the emails, actually.
It was all of them, and I know I'm quite loathsome, but I would like to see some other reasonings on there.
Yes.
If you want to bring it home for Jerome, if
hey, it's a great reason to want to beat you, but there's got to be something else.
Exactly. Like if you want to dedicate this victory to your unborn child, you know.
And there you go.
Whatever. I don't care. Just something other than kicking my ass, okay?
Yeah, I agree. Yep. So just reach out to us. Let us know why you want to be in this. Again, DynastyTradesHQPod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And in a couple weeks, we should have it sorted out and letting everyone know who's in the listener league. Well, let's tell you about the Scouting Academy. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today, and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. It's a time-tested curriculum and a chance to learn from NFL execs, NFL coaches, over 350 years of NFL experience between them, 14 Lombardi trophies, all here to teach you, so you can scout NFL football like a pro. So join the Academy. The Scouting Academy. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory discount. You can save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com. Just look for the Scouting Academy logo, click on that, and save some bucks.
So in the next few weeks, I'm pretty excited. We got some pretty cool big-name guests lined up.
Yeah, I'd like to say who those guests are, you know what I mean?
Yeah, me too, but I don't want to jinx it. Yeah. Let's just say they're above our pay grade.
Well above our pay grade.
Yeah, way above our level of sophistication. Yeah, just better than us all around. So definitely don't want to put it out there because I don't want anyone reaching out to them and saying, hey, what are you doing? Don't go on that podcast. Those guys are awful.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
Outside of that, I think we might have our erstwhile host back with us next week, hopefully. Right, Michael Stipes.
Yeah, we should say, you know, you may have noticed he's not with us again because he's been hard at work across the country supporting his brother for Comic-Con. His brother plays Beast Boy. What's the series, Shane?
Teen Titans Go. They just had a movie coming out. Me and my boys, actually, I don't like talking about personal life stuff, but me and my boys just went to that on Friday, and I'm not going to lie to you, it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I bet. And Sipes even said, hey, I'm bringing your kids back some swag. My brother signed some stuff. So that's cool. And he's just a multidisciplinary guy. He's still in California and he's doing some stuff with General Hospital, soap opera. So what an interesting guy, huh? So he's back, though. We'll have our producer back next week. Promise you he'll be here. And Shane, let's tell everybody how they can get a trophy, ring, or a belt for their Dynasty Football League Championship. They can go to fantasychamps.com and just enter the code DynastyTradesHQ. DynastyTradesHQ, all one word, and they can save 10% off an order for anything at fantasychamps.com.
Every league should have some type of a title, award. You got to do something. So don't be a bunch of cheap asses. Go out, buy a title. And you know what? You still get to be a little bit of a cheap ass since we could save you that 10%.
Absolutely. And we're even going to Fantasy Champs ourselves to get the belt for the listener league. The champion will get to wield that around. I'm assuming that's probably not going to be you, Shane.
But I was already planning. I assume I can wear that. I can wear that. Right?
Yeah, sure. I think you have to. If you win that, you need to wear it to work at least once.
Definitely. So I think that's our episode for this week. You can find me on the Twitter box at DFF_Shane. You can find Jeremy at DFF_Madman.
Yeah, you finally got it right. I mean, all these years. Yeah, that's it. Good work.
And Michael Sipes, I don't remember because he hasn't been on the show in so long, but if you just look up...
at FF Blitz.
FF Blitz, you can find him too. Don't forget to hit up the site, Dynasty Football Factory. We got a ton of stuff dropping this week. We had a ton of stuff drop last week. You can find all the other podcasts on the DF Network at DF_Network or something to that effect. Go listen to those podcasts because they're like our little brothers and we love them to death.
And yeah, so I guess we're out, right, Shane? You want to say anything else?
See you next week.
Good night and God bless.